Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus taught us so wonderfully to pray, Thy will be done. His will is holy, is perfect, is leading everything to His holy goal and chief end. We only know a part of God's will. The most part is hidden for us, His holy counsel, what He is doing, what He is willing, what He is working. One thing is sure. All what's happening in this world answers to the goal and the holy will of God. Most part hidden for us. And it's the work of faith to trust. Only trusting that the Lord never makes any mistake. It seems often to be that things are going wrong, but nothing is going wrong. Nothing. The Almighty God rules and reigns everything according His wisdom. A part of His will we know very clearly. What the Lord is willing from us. What is His right. What we have to do. That's very clearly expressed, we heard it, in God's holy law. It's all written in God's holy word. There we can see very clearly what the Lord is willing from you. Thy will be done. Is that living already in your own heart? Is your own will broken already? Parents, when your children are small, very little, then you must start to break their will. For in the upgrowing, their will, and when that will is wrong, it's wrong. It's becoming stronger and stronger, opposite the Lord, opposite the parents. That's the head matter in our life, that the will of God is worked in our heart and life, worked out, and that the Lord's Prayer is a reality in our own soul and life. And that it is the desire of our heart to do His revealed will and to follow His hidden will in a childlike trust. Everything comes to His goal. We see that so clearly in the history of the suffering of our Lord Jesus. All the might powers of hell are working together to bring our Lord to the cross. And the disciples often are thinking, things are going wrong at all. They left the Lord. They were mad on Him. How can He permit all these terrible things? He does. He knows the end of the beginning. And now it has come so far that the people took Him and brought Him to Pilate. There we see a big crowd of religious people. Religious people. Religion can be very dangerous. You see that, by example, in the Muslim terrorism. can religion do with people? False religion. The devil has a lot of religion. Religion without love. Fanatism. And the people of the Jews were fanatics. Their hearts were filled with hate against the Lord Jesus. For he had confessed before them and their high priest, "I am the Son of the living God. When you see me, you see God." That was blasphemy in their ears. That was terrible. For they were such good, sound people. They didn't allow that anybody should take the glory of God. They were thinking they were seeking the glory of God. And therefore they want to crucify Christ. What a blindness. What a blindness. Did you ever see your own blindness? What a hardness of heart. Did you ever see your own hardness? I must think about the part of the Pilgrim's Progress of John Bunyan, that Mercy wept about the hardness of her heart. For we are not better than that crowd and than that people. We are the same. What are we doing till now with the Lord Jesus? Children, what do you see in Jesus? What place, my young people, has the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart now? What choice did you make in your own heart and soul? Every sin is a choice. Every sin is a cry. What do you cry with every sin? Do you know it? Crucify him. Crucify him. I will do my own will. I will want to go my own way. Away, Lord Jesus. I cannot use thee now. That's every sin. Did you ever see how endless, terrible is your sin? From one sin, little in our eyes mostly, one time eating from the forbidden fruit, all the misery, all the evil which is in this world is coming forth out of one sin. How endless terrible is your and my sin. Did you repent? Do you believe that? Do you hate it? For when the love of God in Christ Jesus is poured out in your soul, you start at the very moment to hate sin. The crowd, they are very strong in their opinion. They are decided. They have no doubt. For the devil is ruling and reigning in their heart. And they think they are serving the Lord. That's the danger. That's a big danger. That we are thinking we are serving the Lord. And the devil is ruling and reigning us. What's the difference between true religion and false? What name it has? For there's only one difference, true and false. We can have sound doctrines, and yet we can have a false religion. We can have a sound biblical opinion, and yet we have only enmity. We know very many examples in the world of that, and in the history of the church, isn't it? What's the difference? Do you know it in your own soul? There is such a big difference between false and true. True religion, true faith is working by love. It's working a broken heart. It's working a strong desire for God to be reconciled, to be united, to be close to Him. True faith, that's what we need. And that's what they lacked. They didn't see the Savior. They didn't see His beauty. They didn't see His divine glory. They were not impressed at all by all what He has said to them. For His message was so clear. His wonders were so marvelous. His gospel was so powerful. And yet, they didn't know Him. They didn't love Him. They rejected Him in their foolishness, in their hardness. False religion in the church. A sound confession. A false religion. That's terrible, isn't it? My dear friends, what do you see in Christ? For Christ is set before us this very morning. Do you see Him with the eye of faith? Did you ever see the Lord Jesus with the eye of love and the eye of faith? But we see Jesus. There He is set before them, and now this morning set before us. His body is pierced. His body is red of the blood which He sweated in the garden, where the holy angel of God pressed upon His holy soul and pressed the blood out of His body, dropping on the floor. That's our blessed Savior. And they took Him. And they beat Him. And they mocked with Him. And they did with Him all what He wanted. And He said nothing. He did nothing. He seemed to be the weakest. He was the strongest. He was the most despised. And He is the most beloved one, the most beautiful man who ever was in this world, Jesus. Altogether lovely for the eyes of faith, looking unto Jesus. That's what we need. That we see the Savior in His beauty, in His suffering, in His merits. Oh, what a blessed Savior is standing before them. They are so close to them, they can touch Him. And yet they reject Him. You can do only two things with the Lord Jesus. You love Him, you accept Him, you embrace Him. Or you reject Him. There's no between that. It's only one of the two. And as long as our eyes are blinded, as long as our hearts are hardened, we reject Him. We love other things above Him. We make the wrong choice, a terrible choice. The choice against the Lord Jesus, the choice to crucify Him by our sins. They don't give it up. They will not rest until the Lord Jesus is dead. Till they see Him hanging on the cross. Then they are satisfied. That's what they want. But they cannot.
They have not the power. They are limited. They need Pilate. Pilate misjudged him. Pilate does not work with them together. That's a problem. How do we see how hateful, deceitful, and terrible a human heart is? Our heart. How blind, how hard, as long as we don't see the beauty of Christ and our need of the Lord Jesus. For they didn't know him and they didn't know themselves at all. They were satisfied with their religion. They were very strong and strict in their religion, of course. But they didn't love the Savior, and that's all in vain. They didn't have Christ in their heart. And now they wanted to kill him. And that Lord Jesus is standing, willing. He wants to be killed. That's his choice. That's his love. But they don't see that. Do you see that? The choice of love of our Lord Jesus. His love, it surpasses all our understanding. He gives up himself as a lamb for our sin. The only way to be reconciled with God, to satisfy the holy judgment of the Lord, to do everything what's needed for our salvation. So he is working, so he is doing, so he is set before us this morning as the suffering Savior, suffering for our sins. What do we see in him? Look unto the Lord Jesus. Pray for eyes opened for his beauty. You need him. You cannot miss him. Children, younger people, you cannot miss the Lord Jesus. You need to see him in his beauty. You need to embrace him by saving faith. Don't reject such a blessed Savior, please. For that's the greatest disaster which can happen in your life. It's for all eternity. They make decisions. Decisions for eternity. They make the decision against the Lord. And now Pilate. It's very hard and difficult for him. He seems to be better. Sometimes you meet people, nice people. They are not so much against God. Not so much against religion. They are more indifferent. It can be, I don't hope so, but it can be that there are also among us such people. Not against the Lord. I'm in the church. I'm here not for nothing. When I didn't believe, I was not here. But there is a big problem in the life of Pilate. There is yet a kind of unity between the people and Pilate. As far as we can see, they seem to be opposite. They seem to be in contradiction. The people wants to kill the Lord, to crucify him. And Pilate wants to let him free. That's a big difference. Is the difference really big? Not so big as it seems to be. For there is really no difference at all that you see in the outcome. For Pilate is responsible. And he has a conscience. That's precious when you have a conscience which warns you against sins, against doing wrong things. It's very precious. And his conscience is saying him that Christ
is totally innocent, and they deliver him only for envy, hate. He sees the hate in their eyes. He sees their fanatism. And he is a Roman. He is not a man like that. He wants to be honest. Is that not nice? He wants to be honest. But they don't give him any chance. They have strong arguments. When you don't crucify Christ, then you will not be the friend of the emperor. That's a strong argument. The friend of the emperor. That's a high position in the Roman Empire, to be the friend of the emperor. And when you are not the friend of the emperor, you are his enemy. Then you are in danger. Then you are really in life danger. And the Jews had their influence in Rome, in the court of the emperor. And they knew a lot of Pilate. He did a lot of evil things. His conscience was guilty, accused him. When the emperor shall know everything what's happened here, I am not longer the friend of the emperor. So they blackmailed him. They set him under a strong pressure. He had to make a choice between his own position and maybe his own life, and to be honest, to be a right judge. His conscience told him, I must let free Christ. He has done nothing that worthy. But it was a hard choice. Yes, it is a hard choice, isn't it, congregation? When it can cost your position, that's your work. And you have to break the law and the will of the Lord. Then they cannot continue to have you in your work. If you want to be honest in this society, if you are not willing to crucify Christ by your sins, and when your conscience is warning you, it cannot happen. It's against the will of the Lord. It's crucifying Christ. But yet, your position. And then, when they want to take your life, when it can cost our life, when we must make that choice, Christ or our life, what is the choice? What is the choice, do you think, at this very moment? Do you see so much value, so much worth in Christ, that you can give up and can lose your own life? Be not too hard for Pilate. Look first in your own heart, and I in my own heart. Is the love of Christ stronger than everything in our life? Is Christ really number one? Number one? Not I, not me, but he. He is worthy that place. That he is number one in your heart. That he is your most beloved one. That you are willing to lose your life for him if needed. You cannot lose your life if you love Christ. You lose your life forever if you don't love him. If you make the wrong choice, then you will lose your life forever and ever. But when you make by grace the right choice, you can never lose your life. What can your enemies do with you? The only thing which they can do with you is to send you to your most beloved one. To send you to eternal life. To send you to your Savior. More they cannot do. Nobody can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when that love is poured out in our soul, then we have moments that we know that surely nobody can separate me from His love. There is such a richness in the Lord Jesus. There is such a beauty in Him. He is so worthy. Your heart and your love and your whole life. Nobody is worthy. Your life, only Christ. But Pilate doesn't see that. And in that way, he is one with the people. Though they seem to be very, very different, yet they are the same in the bottom. They lack the love of the Lord Jesus. They don't see, he doesn't see his value. And now he is pressed. It's against his conscience. It's against his will. He feels unhappy. He's warned by his wife. And yet he goes forward. His own way. His own choice. His own life. His own position. He cannot give up that for the Lord Jesus. That's too much. Is that too much for you too? You will have an eternity, Pilate, to repent that. You will have an eternity, sinner, to repent that you rejected Christ. That you made another choice. Your money. Your relations. Your life. What it is. You cannot be a disciple of Christ if you are not willing to lose your life. He is worthy. Your whole life. Your whole heart. Christ is worthy. But Pilate doesn't believe that, doesn't see that. And therefore, he contented the people. The people is contented. He tries to escape, but he doesn't succeed. He wants to escape to the judgment, to the honestness of God's law. And he finds a solution. Very dishonest. Barabbas. He was a murderer. He was a rebellion. He was a very cruel and dangerous person. He deserved death sentence. He really deserved that. He was not popular at all. He was hated by the people. They were afraid of him. He was the most worst man in town. And Pilate thought, well, when I give them the choice between that innocent Savior, the innocent Jesus, and that cruel criminal Barabbas, well, they all will make the choice for Jesus. Wrong. Wrong. He didn't know. He didn't see how evil, how blind is human heart. How great is the enmity in every man by nature against the Lord Jesus. Did you see your own heart? By nature, it's full of enmity against the Lord. And every sin is the proof of it. He doesn't succeed. He must make a honest choice himself. He cannot escape from his responsibility. We cannot either. There must be a choice in our heart, a real choice for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we make that choice by grace when we see his beauty, when we see his worthiness, when we believe his word. Thou art the Son of the living God. We left everything and follow thee. That's the believer. But Pilate was not a believer at all. So all unbelief is unbelief. It has a lot of sides. It has a lot of faces. But it's the same. We must be changed in the deepest of our soul. And then, our second thought, Barabbas released. Barabbas, they put him out of prison. And they set him next our Lord Jesus. That's wonderful. He never expected that. How can that happen? That the most criminal person in the country is set next the Lord Jesus. He can see him. He can touch him. Does he love him? I don't know. Do you love him? Do you make the choice for him? He is so close to us. Also this morning, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And now in this part of the world, Jesus Christ is set before us, in his suffering, in his love, in his sacrifice. For he is willing, going the way to the cross. Everything seemed to go wrong. Nothing is going wrong. It's all according to the will and the counsel of the Lord. For people cannot know that. We stay responsible for what we are doing with Jesus. And Barabbas, he does nothing. He doesn't play a role even. He has no choice at all. But he is set next to the Lord Jesus. That's a wonderful sight. Jesus, very close to the most criminal person in the country, maybe. And then the people must make the choice. You should say a very easy choice. And yet they all make the wrong choice, all. We don't hear any voice for Jesus. They all cry, Barabbas released, Barabbas released. Barabbas means son of the Father. And he is set next the Son of the Father, God's only begotten Son. Son of the Father, Son of God. His divine glory is hidden for the wise and the prudent, not hidden for God's people. When Christ is revealed in his divine glory to our soul, when we have seen his glory, his beauty, then he is altogether lovely, then he is precious, for unto you he believes. Christ is precious. When you see him standing next that criminal person, Barabbas, son of the Father. What Father? Who is our Father? Barabbas, son of Adam. Adam,
the Son of God, the fallen son, a prodigal son, a son who listened to the devil, who killed his neighbor, who's hard and cruel. And Jesus, so close to him.
Yes.
Jesus, in the place of him.
Yes.
Is there anybody here who thinks sometimes, I'm too bad? My sins are too bad? When the Holy Spirit is lightening our hearts and showing us ourselves, that can happen. That we can get that feeling. Is there anybody so bad and such a sinner as I am? When we see really what is sin and what is our sin, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in saving faith, to show us ourselves. And then we really have the feeling what the Apostle Paul had too. I am the chief of sinners. And then devil is sometimes saying into us, you cannot be saved. Your sins are too much, too strong, too evil. There is nobody like you. And therefore the Lord Jesus made that choice. He made a choice. He wanted to stand next to that criminal man so that you could think nobody is too bad, too far away for the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus. For his blood, it cleans from every sin. When you had alone all the sins of the world, you could be saved by this blessed Savior. He reckoned himself with the criminals. And an hour later on, he is hanging on the cross between the thieves. Barabbas, released. We don't know what it did with him. But what did it do with you, my friend? Do you know and do you see the great wonder? Released, to be made free, because Christ went away to the cross. Therefore, I am free of the holy angel of God. Therefore, I am free and freed of all my sins. That's the only reason why you can be saved, why you can be freed. Because Christ made a choice. I want to stand there. And that man may go away free, released. And I go the way. What a beauty in Christ, isn't it? What do we see of beauty in the Savior? When we believe that for ourselves, I'm set free. And he goes the way which I had to go, the way to hell, the way to the holy angel of God against my sin. And he goes that way to satisfy the holy judgment of God. The most innocent person ever lived on the world is the most guilty one, not because his own sins, because my sins, seeing him bearing the sin of the world, seeing him bearing my own sins, released, freedom, liberty of the gospel by the Holy Spirit in my soul. Oh, blessed Savior, oh, blessed Savior, I cannot express the blessedness and the beauty of this Savior to you, my dear flock. I hope that you see him, that you believe in him, that you follow him,
that you cannot miss this blessed Savior, that you make the choice by grace, that the Holy Spirit is working mightily in this very moment to look unto Jesus and to believe in him and to trust in him and to cleave to him. Give me Jesus, for he makes the choice to go instead of the criminal. And I'm the criminal. I'm the chief of all sinners. That's the experience of the true Lord's people. In the experience of true saving faith. And then that blessed Savior is so blessed. And then Pilate contented the people. Barabbas is released. And we don't know it. The Bible is not speaking about it, what it worked out in his soul. Did it change him? We hope so. But that's not important for us now. Did it change you? Did it change you? Did this wonderful love of Christ change your heart? And are you released? That's the goal of the gospel. That sinners be released. Christ is offered to us as that perfect Savior. That we should be released. And that we should experience that greatest wonder. He for me. And there he goes. And now in our third thought, we follow him for a while on his way to the cross. But let us first sing Psalter 361. The verses 1 till 4. 361, the verses 1 till 4.
Thank you.
and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And delivered Jesus as a lamb, willing, full of love, full of strength. Do you think that he was weak? He was the strongest. All the powers of hell were working together to the crucifixion of Christ, to the glory of God. Not willing, unwilling, but yet they had God's will. They all did against God's revealed will in their hatred. And they stay, and we too, responsible for that. But it was the will of God, it was the will of Christ himself, that he should be crucified. And they scourged him. His body was very weak already. And then they opened and ploughed his back, all blood, all wound, all pain. And in every beat he felt the holy angel of an holy God against our sin. And his blood was streaming from his back, blood which is so powerful. The blood of Christ cleanses from every sin. And when that blood is applied to our heart, we receive a full redemption and a full peace. Peace with God. Because he went the way to the cross. Because he paid everything what I never can pay. And that wonder we can never understand. That wonder fills the heart of a believer. And that wonder becomes greater and greater. There we see our Lord scorched, full of pain, in obedience, full obedience to the will of his Father. Thy will be done. That finds the highest fulfillment in his willingness to go the way to the cross. And you know, maybe the cross is the punishment for the most bad criminal, the worst, the most bad one. It was the most painful punishment. It was only for the most heavy criminals, for the chief of sinners. And that's what Christ wanted to be, the chief of sinners. Not any sin of himself, but a sin of the world resting upon him. The sin, the sins of a number which no one can number, resting on his soul, working in his painful body, the holy angel of God, to the cross, the place of the curse, the holy curse of God. Cursed is everything, everybody who doesn't stay in the law of God. Sin is the most terrible thing which exists. One sin is endless terrible. And how endless terrible is your and my sins, we can see in the cross of the Lord Jesus. He goes to the cross, to the curse, and the fullness of God's curse is coming upon him when he hangs on the cross and goes down in the depths of hell. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There he does all what had to be done to satisfy not people, but they satisfy God, and the God is satisfied, fully satisfied, in that wonderful offer of our blessed Savior. It's his will. It's his own holy will. It's the will of the Father to sacrifice his own Son. It's all according to the will of God. God reveals the highest love, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and he gave himself in eternal love, in perfect righteousness. And now there is such a full salvation in this blessed Savior. God has such a pleasure in his sacrifice that we can be saved by it. And that sacrifice is offered to us this very morning. That blood is sprinkled upon us this very morning. What are you doing with the sacrifice of Christ? What are you doing with the love of Christ? What are you doing, my son, my friend, with the love of God? What are you doing with it? Oh, don't reject him. Don't reject him. Embrace him. He is worthy. Your life, your heart, everything. He is able to give you everything, to make you happy for time and eternity. For by saving faith in this blessed Savior, you are saved. You are released. Only by him, released in your body, released in your soul, released in the time, released in eternity. You are saved by him only. And that salvation must come in our hearts as a sweet reality by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord is willing to do. Cry to him, oh Lord Jesus, fill my heart and life with that wonderful choice. Thou art number one, not number two, number one in my life, in my heart, in my love. Thou art the only one. Looking unto Jesus, going to the cross, taking away my sins. Oh, that's the only comfort in life and death. And thinking there about, maybe dating there about, we can never enough do that. We need eternity to thank him for that wonderful grace. Children of God in our midst, see your Savior bleeding for your sins. And how hateful will that make our sins for us? How do we hate our sins which crucified our Savior? And when we are willing by grace to follow him, to make the choice for him, we cannot serve two masters. That's a real choice. That's a choice to avoid everything what he hates, to struggle against everything what brings separation between him and me. To love Christ is to hate sin. You come at his side when you see his beauty, when you believe in him. You are not at the sight of the people. You are not any longer at the sight of Pilate. But you are sight on the side of Christ. The best sight, my friend. There is no better sight. There is no better place. At the feet of our Savior, looking on the cross, looking on his love, looking on his sacrifice. Oh, let that be the desire of our heart, to be close to him, to be filled with him, and to be inclined to do his will. Thy will be done. That's what the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And that's what the Lord Jesus put in our hearts and our lives. Thy will be done. And this is the will of him who sent me, that thou believest in the only begotten Son of God. And when you believe, you are renewed in your soul, and the love of Christ is leading you, and the Spirit of Christ is filling you. And the love of Christ is the most important for you. And that love shall never end. It's here in part. And it's true, we stumble in many things every day. And that's the sorrow of our heart, isn't it? Continually. Because there is a new will. The will of Christ. To glorify the Lord. To be close to the Lord. And to be with the Lord. For, dear congregation, our life is short here. Very short. It's only a minute. It's only a second. Compared with eternity. And that's the foolishness of human heart, that we are focused on this very short time, to have our position, to have our pleasures, to have our lusts, and not focused on eternity, not focused on Christ. That's foolish. Christ is worthy, your heart and your love. And I call you to him. It's the time of the gospel still. It's the time of salvation, friends. It's the time in which Christ will reveal himself to your soul. It's the time of his pleasure. Oh, use that time, for the time is short. Time is gone very quickly. There comes a time that there will be no time. No time to repent. No time to see Christ. No time to make the choice. At the end of the world, it's coming very soon. I once preached in one of my congregations about the text, "There will be no time." And in the same week, I visited a man who was in his last days, and he cried so much. And he said, "My time is gone, Pastor. My time is gone. And I didn't see Christ my whole life. I fear it's too late." I said, "My friend, it's not yet too late, but you have not much time now." It's so terrible when you waste your time, the time of grace. And therefore I beseech you, make the right choice. Lay yourself down at the feet of Christ. He is so willing, he is so mighty to save you. For he did everything what you need. There is such a fullness in his sacrifice that no man can utter that sufficiently. Seek the Lord when he is to be found, and look on the cross continually, also when the devil is want to bring you to sin, when you are led into temptation, always looking to the cross. How hateful is my sin in the light of the cross of Jesus, and how wonderful is his sacrifice, Christ to the cross. Now to the crown, he's coming very soon to judge the quick and the dead, the crowd, the people, Pilate, you and me, and who will stand? The bride, which is crying, "Give me Jesus, or I die. Without Jesus is no life at all. Give me Jesus. He is my most beloved one." Amen. Let's pray together now. O gracious and merciful Savior, who art at the right hand of the Father, in thy might and in thy glory, who suffered the cross and did everything what was needed to satisfy the Lord, to save a number which no one can number, we thank thy holy name that thou enabled us to save very little. Of thy love and thy fullness, O blessed Savior, there is such a joy in preaching thee. There is such a joy in glorifying thee. There is such a fullness in thee, O ever blessed Savior. And there is such a pleasure to be with thee, to be close to thee, to look unto thee continually. O Lord, bless thy holy word of this morning to each of us, that no child, no boy, no girl can leave this building without thee. O Holy Spirit, work mightily and apply thy word to the heart of each of us, that it may be a blessing for all eternity. Pardon all our sins and bring us back together tonight in the longing to hear thy voice again more and more, Lord, we thank thee for all what thou gavest us. We didn't deserve it, but it's all thy merits alone. Amen.